Good evening. How's everybody doing? How is everybody doing? So, we're going to start broadcasting live to me from radio. I'm very excited about reading this little display that Cass is doing will be so kindly for. So silence your phones, buckle your seatbelts, and get ready because it's going to be a bumpy ride. As you know, tonight we're going to be hearing meetings from Precious CA. We're very excited about that. I guess I should start this first. This event is a live partner stream on Wave Farm Radio in New York's Upper Hudson Valley. Greetings from Time and Space Limited and Homeschool. Tonight we have three amazing readers. We're in the middle of our week, and to introduce them, I'm going to call up Pat Sense.
When I first think of Precious Okiyoman, I can't not think of something she said in the Q&A she did after reading a college report last spring. I can't quote verbatim, but she said something to the effect of how she was writing a lot of poems about lambs and how she related to their strength through innocence, but also in how they were very much beings of sacrifice. In Christianity, the lamb represents Christ as both suffering and triumphant. Is typically a sacrificial lamb and may also symbolize gentleness, innocence, and purity. When depicted with the lion, the pair can mean a state of paradise. I think this is very crucial thinking about Precious because she's Leo and yesterday was her birthday. Woo! In addition, the lamb symbolizes sweetness, forgiveness, and meekness. For the latter, Precious is most certainly not meek. Case in point, a poem from her chapbook. I am fat and black and beautiful. The white women give me tight smiles from the other side. It's okay. Sharing our differences, swallowing mouthfuls of glass, someone's about to get cut or addicted to crack. Fist blooming, fat clit, sweating in my acne jeans. All my love is shoplifted. Precious Okiyoman is a queer poet, artist, and performer living in New York. She is the author of Ajibota, Bottle Cap Press, and But Did You Die, forthcoming from Birds, LLC. Her writing has been performed and exhibited at the Baltic Triennial in Lithuania, XOXO in Paris, and MoMA PS1 in New York. Her writing has been published in numerous places, including The Believer, Lambda Literary, and Invest American Experimental Writing 2019. Please help me welcome to the stage Precious Okiyoman.
Give your body up for abstraction. Bite your tongue and eat it. This is corrective therapy. Now into one alienating and alienating. Now into the meat of the world. Don't speak to me of obscurities. Recreation. Stripped down. Carry nothing but light. Only light. No longer clutching to guaranteed space, but rather recreate space, temporalized space. The universe as adapting space, a love that gives space, a love that is space, tactile, palatine, self-immolating, to become the room. Let the silence enter you, release into the morning light. Now, in your own loving words, no to the fragility of language, no to the ego, no to the colonial context of thought, no to fake tenderness, no to liberation without destruction. No to self-destruction, no to masters, life rubs against matter, inner core against inner core. Try not to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. The light washes the body clean, light throbbing in the sky. To live affixed to the circuitry of the world, the body is pinned to the sky in blue, reborn in this energy, caught and released. Lucid, intangible realities of dust, the sky sweeps it all away, regulating the unconscious play of the mind. I've never seen a pink moonlight. It's frightening. Black girl magic. When was the assertion of blackness anything other than interrogation? Eerie on self-abolition. Gave me a muzzle. I asked to be abstracted, loving to disappear. I fell in love with everyone peeking over the temple. Shoo, shoo, shoo. I want to be free. She moves freely through the black velvet curtain, loving every little thing. Black will make you, black will unmake you. She seems to know that her actions are irrational. She walks with grace and assertion. Blackness doesn't move, it stays still, holding steadfast. She is abstracting comfort to reinforce the idea that she is not a magical Negro. She can break. She breaks. Angel eyes, delicate weight. Suffering is not existence. The blackness of the blackness, the fucked up invisibility of whiteness, find the self and then kill it. The new sainthood of the nappy-headed nigger child, patron saint of the ashery, black Barbie, Nubian princess, negress, humiformic angel being singing in the midnight sugar storms. Shoo, 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 I want to be free. I can't remember my dreams, so I don't really exist. The body is submerged in the command, jamming back the tongue to swallow it. Nobody knows better than a bastard what silence knows. But I am only a body of water nourished by the wind. At the end of the dream, I found myself unlacing the monster. Night sprouts from our self-denial. The umbilical cord returned back to its ephemeral splendor. Everyone just wants the bread and the wine and the blood. I am aware of my presence, quality, recklessly descending on carcasses perched in a moment, pause full of flesh. I lay out my skin to dry. Beams of shadow, the glossy flash, a maddening buzz. At the end of the dream, I was tormented, the jerky orgasms of the hysterical life. Time passes very quickly. I feel like a cyclone. Life bursts like an overripe pomegranate, a whole day bustling, preparing, cooking, cleaning sprees, endless jitters. I never have enough, always running short, getting bored, keeping up appearances. Try and make more room for laughter. I whisper my secrets, talk of only loving a cacophony of plucky singers and shameless nature. I stack upon my guts the succulent lust. My body turns a bouquet of singing, and you are cozy. You eat good, you drink good, your puddings and big wines, we are too entwined, tasting of wild rosemary and vinegar, sugar, anise, milk, cayenne, and the liquid of suns. There are all good things which you try. They are wild, and I distill them to the point of ecstasy. You cocoon inside of me with fragrances. You laugh, I sing, the references flare on like cocoon poems, hallelujah. Praise on, hallelujah. The mouth sings, the hands, the ass, the feet, the cunt, your entire being liquefies into the sounds of the voices and the rhythm. Meet me inside of the chrysalis. At the peak of ascent, I burst like a cloud, the juices run down your mouth. The sky songs don't stop, but I roll on anxious, heavy, trekking through the valley of fear, the tunnels of anguish, and the fires of hell. Each one starts pulling. The devil's tail is in my mouth. Fear pierces me. I doze into my daydream with rose petal eyelids. The day comes, soft and velvety, upon my tongue. shit in the streets, feathers falling down from the sky, red pussy sunsets. The desire of the drill of power, the sky is set with a statue of protest, the feet of the drowning things, the soil in my mouth is perched, I am petty, hushed up, and scandalous, pretty, unavoided. Please amend my hatred of the narrow thinking of my mind. At the end of the daydream, I am frustrated on the bed with my ass in the air. I know how to dispose of my aborted dreams. The boredom falls equally on all things, the stagnant, unbroken brightness. Oh, I see a hummingbird. At the end of the dream, there is a small house. The wood is rotten. A dozen rats. I live in the house with my temperamental father, gnawed at his persistent ache. I never knew which one. Sorcery lulls me into melancholy. Tenderness, my anger walks up with flames. My mother, her tireless hunger. I was awakened by the night. At the end of the daybreak, before the end of the world, before all fathers, the mother with chapped lips and blisters tends to the rotting tree. The wind whistles, it makes an odd noise like crackling. This is the disgrace, a colonial highway, the wind plucked and brown like twigs flying up into smoke. My whole entire race lays, dried banana leaves, rags, burning like a fat cockroach. Everyone's desire goes astray, for this is a sea of garbage. The sea opens up into a foaming rage, for this is a pile of muck. I compare my lust to a foolish forest. I wish it was in my power to show you. I declare my sins, for there is nothing to say in my defense. Dance idols, for I am too an apostolate. I assign my God with my laziness, my words, my gestures, obscene songs. I slow, swallow a gallon of hummingbirds straight into the earth's breast. From staring too long at the trees, I have become a tree now. My feet are strong in the ground. My feet have dug into the ground. I am venomous. I go where the water goes. This is a madness of remembering. I am unleashed. Do you know the rest? The end of the beginning, I choke on the feathers of hummingbirds, angels guarding gates of foam. I have exhausted memories, patience, defied, tired. I worship my perversity. It overwhelms me. Oh, what impenetrable jungle. Oh, what horrible leaps. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Oh, I charm the snakes. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Oh, I turn the rain back into waves. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Effort just to stay alive. Vroom, vroom, vroom. The promised times will never return. A cursed venereal sun pecked out by hummingbirds. Eternally renewed cross. I lay in my grave of animality. Legs parted, standing stiff. Fear in the back of my throat. Fear in the trees. Fear in the ground, fear in the sky, piled up in anguish. May the stars find my confidence, stuffing my throat with fangs. This is the end of the beginning of the world. Mournful in forgetfulness, rotting in the sun's overhead pulse. Oh, love of the world, I hate you. Resting in vanity, bathe me in blood, emptied of anger, emptied into the earth. Recoil and expand. The body convulses and resounds. It's all about perspective. Standing in the midnight sun, rise, sky liquor, rise. Maybe in the end, lesbian witches will fix everything. You found a cicada endorsed in light and put it in the green, gay earth. A vegetable thrill goes through me. I found a cicada and put it in the gay green earth. The rain pushes all the glyphosate and the polyacetic aromatic hypercorrigens down into the ground. We are becoming ultra-vacuums of love. I fear nature, her drowning lust for my love, catching our blown-out bodies, singing our ska songs. Yeah.
engage on that.
At the center of the soft middle of the person, sun flares in the apocalyptic lust of this century. Like moments of everything, well, not really everything, but so much the moments of this, that's where I find CA, in the fleshy parts, flashing in the dark, creating light in the same breath as hope, shapes crystalline, the heart is bleeding out into clear bubbles of bursting light. It's a rebirth moment, in their work. The slight aspiration of flesh towards heaven and a dream of the world just loving you the way you are. CA has drafted the blueprints for a queer paradise. O visible angel, O light of the world, O love of life, O gem of paradise, anointed in jasmine flowers, tears of resistance, dreamscapes of a life of hope forming a new body, hanging birds on honeysuckles, nothing to possess here. Bodies without pain, paradise not just for people, but paradise. C.A. Conrad is the author of 9 books of poetry and essays. While standing in line for death, Wave Books received the 2018 Mambia Award, a recipient of the Pew Fellowship in the Arts. They also received the Beaver Magazine Book Award and the Gil Otter Book Award. The book has been translated into Spanish, Greek, Polish, Norwegian, Portuguese, Danish, and German. They regularly teach at Columbia University in New York and Sandberg Art Institute in Amsterdam. And their books, films, essays, and rituals, and other publications can be found online at htpcconrad.blogspot.com.
Rituals, for the most part. The second book was very different. The thing I'm going to read the second is very different. But so I write through rituals. I create rituals, and then I create poems from those rituals. And the goal has always been to write poems. But in this new book, there were other goals. Some of them political action rituals for all. But we've got over 200. Lesbian, gay, anti-LGBTQ laws coming up this November. And I've been reading this morning when I woke up, I don't know why I did this to myself, but Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump, Pence, Mike Pompeo are doing all these right-wing radio shows right now, talking about the new religious liberty task force that they're creating. And the foundation of the reason for this that they're claiming is to make sure that religion, that religion is not persecuted in America. Meanwhile, there are 200 anti-LGBTQ laws and not a single anti-Christian law that I know of. So I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. It's really, when you start reading, it's just thinly veiled homophobia. They're just using it as another opportunity to destroy us. Yeah. So the opening rituals to this new book, I just want to read a couple poems from this ritual. I had a boyfriend named Earth, and we met in the 80s during ACT UP demonstrations and fell in love. We were already seeing other people, but my boyfriend Tommy was actually dying of AIDS at the time, and he helped. He was such a beautiful person. And he went down, he was also an environmental activist, and he went down to Tennessee to live in this all-queer community to work in the gardens for a while to recalibrate. And I was on the phone with him one day, and 3 days later, he's dead. And the police report said that this was a suicide, and I just knew that was impossible. And then his brother came in through the store where I was working, the queer bookstore in Philly, Giovanni's room, and showed me the death certificate. And I could tell immediately that this was a homicide. The coroner even used the word homicide. His ankles and wrists were tied behind his back. He had been tortured, covered in gasoline, and burned alive. And there were no empty gasoline containers on site. So I immediately just, all of my, I was so angry when I read that, and I called up the police, and I was arguing with the sheriff immediately, and then so he was cordial to a degree at first, but this is when he begins just calling me faggot, like it's my name, and warning me to not come back down to Tennessee, because I'd been down there to try to figure out what to do, because I just couldn't believe this was happening. Eventually, he sent the Philadelphia police, I was living in Philadelphia at the time, to my home, and they assaulted me in the hallway, physically and emotionally, screaming at me, one of them holding my face against the wall, and another was kicking my, three of them, kicking my legs apart, and then three more arrived to join. And one of them actually said, before leaving, "Leave our brothers in blue in Tennessee alone." It's so corny. But I was really, I don't know, that assault is what broke me. And I'm very athletic leading up to this, and macrobiotic. I was, you know, helping all these people I knew who were HIV positive keep healthy. I just collapsed. I just completely crumbled. And for years I was depressed. It just got worse and worse. Anyway, this is where they want to get to. There was a ritual that I knew was possible to break the curse of this depression. And that's really what I want to talk about very briefly, and then read these two poems from this section. So the last time I saw him alive, he gave me a clear quartz crystal similar to this one that my friend Erica Kaufman gave me. It's a beautiful thing that can't take off. And I sleep with it. Accidentally, but you know, now I just wear it. I'm in church. But he had been carrying his crystal around for about a year and a half. So it was a library of his movements, his sounds, his footfall, his heartbeats. And I put it under my hair wrap, and then I would swallow a smaller crystal to drag all of his information out of his crystal into my bones and tissue and blood. And it worked so quickly. And it was a thing that I didn't want to even touch. I hated that crystal after his death. I couldn't bear to see it. Anyway, I'm just very glad that poetry does have the power to do many other things we're barely beginning to, and we're just beginning to realize the possibilities. There are 27 poems to this. I'm just going to read two. When you died the way you died, it was contaminating. A new danger of being lost and insecure. But reality can never be avoided forever. At the same moment, who is afraid of whom? The killers or my beloved? Or guilt of my continued song? Desire is not what we achieve. It's a knife often carving the wrong way or wrapping it in the alchemy of a mood. I should never trade youth for poetry's resonance of aging. But I can put every poem I ever wrote in a pile and burn them if you would appear on the other side. Poetry or another shovel working where the real America buried you. The kind of men shown a table of blueprints of our city to destroy us. When they punish us, it is exactly how we knew it would feel. Places with the least warmth, exchanged with places we missed one another in. Sunlight snorkel of corn silk as the hummingbird drinks your wounds away. Fuck the real America up the ass with the fake one. Let it all be done, I said. Let it all be done, I said. I wrote this with my friend Frank Sherlock. I want to read two of my poems from it. It's called The City Beyond Imagined. We wrote it together in Philadelphia. I lived there most of my life, close to 35 years. And when we would meet, we did 12 walks through the city, and we would alternate who led the walks. So we would meet at the Robert Indiana Love Sculpture near City Hall. And not much more to say about it. I really enjoyed it, and I love Frank. So my pieces always begin with something I heard that day, or in this case, from a dream. We just heard a live recording of Dvorak's Symphony No. 4 in D minor with former President Ronald Reagan playing all 9 instruments at once. Radio DJ in my dream last night. Shooting 6-pointed stars for the Seal of Solomon. What American corporations did death contract to build the eternal hotels? The unions are fucked. The third world will not enter the afterworld as the third world. Or was your Bible another political promise of warm piss defined as milk? Taste your own and let me know. My friend says she'd rather see state-imposed atheism than state-imposed theism, but I'd rather see the state disappear.
Yeah.
Can't we imagine our hands on one another instead? Question our extent of warmth. Love was attuned for a while between borders. If drag queens ruled the world, our warmth would never be in question. I will live with you like war has finally ended. Please meet me there. Classic evil, new evil, what's the fucking difference? Great teachers remain great students. Sherlock and I see Masonic symbols every place we look. Study malls, trowels, a butcher's side of beef and window, sports an all-seeing eye. This is getting creepy. Can you believe it now? Quote, what if the hokey pokey is what it's all about? Signed in 13th Street shop window. Press radio antenna to my head to unexpectedly tune inside. Another deaf moon invoking moisture, muscular from barking in a mirror of light. I'm a housewife with appliances my mother only dreamt of until I waken in disturbed mumbling. Fragments of the gods arrive in long hot baths. Joan Crawford chopping down the roses. 3 joints later, Aline recites from a cloud of her exhale. Whirl it off a wide hat, this spot is gonna go. Call me lazy, but it's not my fault there's more than one language. You came to complete a painting of the sky, remember? Against a painting of earth with piles and piles of us on top. Those conjurers, those mummers dressed in skulls. I'm scared of white people when I visit my family. White gets dirty quick. Walk far as I want from them, but genetics of this knee, deformed tree from a damaged sapling. Green heart, are you tasting yourself again? I became an angry young woman when I finally became a man. Association claims that we have lost 60% of the world's wild creatures. The Guardian newspaper, about 3 months ago now, had a very alarming study that they talked about that Europe has lost 75% of its flying insects.
Wow.
And they're seeing what this is doing to the air, the water, the soil, all the birds. They're calling it, and this is the Guardian saying this, by the way, so this is not a tabloid. The Guardian literally is calling this an insect apocalypse. And they're just seeing the die-off of mammals, vertebrate animals, reptiles of all kinds in Europe right now. So what I was thinking about with ecopoetics is not just this, I mean, I love ecopoetics. I'm not saying anything of either or. I'm simply saying I was, you know, thinking about ecopoetics as this idea of degraded soil, air, and water, looking at different topographies, and, you know, I love ecopoetics, and I love everybody who's involved, but I was thinking about vibrational absence. So that when a species leaves the planet, they take all of their sounds with them. So what I've been doing is I've been lying on the ground across the United States with speakers. I start at my feet and play these recordings. There are a bunch of other things, like index cards that I leave. I make a little scratchy drawing of a creature and have a little hook, like a little sentence, a phrase, and then an email account for each creature, and I leave them all over the country. Sandwich shops, hotel, Bibles, and subways, and people start writing back when they have these conversations. I don't tell them I'm extinct yet, and then when I do, I blame them. But the piece of that, so one of the ingredients that I've been working on, though, I took four Ayurvedic, completely solid copper water bottles, and I put 9 crystals in each one, 3 rose quartz, 3 carnelian, 3 amethyst, and then filled them up with crystal-infused water, sealed them. I buried one of them in Minneapolis. I buried one of them in Memphis. I buried one of them in Cheyenne, Wyoming, to build this giant triangle. The city of my birth, Topeka, is in the middle. So this is becoming a big meditation that I've been doing. I planted those this spring, and then I get to sit in, so then I bury another one in Omaha, which is in the middle. And then I sit on top of the canister in Omaha, and I line up with a compass Minneapolis. And then I eat a little bit of dirt from Minneapolis, and then I listen to an ambient recording of Minneapolis, and I tune in. And then I switch to Memphis, and then I switch to Cheyenne, and then I do it 2 more rounds. And most of these poems come from that last round. It's almost like a pyramid is being built. The lower end, and then the second round is the middle, and then the peak. Almost all, exclusively, the notes come from that last one. And I'm also looking at everything that you can imagine from Manifest Destiny and the great sweep westward going through that triangle. And having been born in Topeka, which, by the way, there's a Gwendolyn Brooks Park there because she was born there. There's also a Ronald Johnson Park. Ann Boyer was also born there. Ben Lerner. I don't know why I'm mentioning all these poets who were born there, but we were. I don't know what I think. Anyway. But if you haven't been to Topeka, I think that every single high school student must be required to go to the Museum for the Brown versus the Board of Education. It's not like any museum experience you're ever going to experience again in your life. They make you go through, they don't make you do it. You don't even know what you're doing at first. On the second floor, there is this exhibit. The first floor is all these sculptures and different things. Langston Hughes was also born nearby, and so there's Langston Hughes sculpture. When you get to the second floor, there's an exhibit that you walk in one room, and once you're in it, you just can't believe it. It's a gauntlet. It's 2 movie screens, like a tunnel you walk through. And it's the things that the young woman had to hear, the young girl had to hear, going to school every day. And you know, the thing is, I started looking on YouTube for the news station reels that they have online. So those were, of course, heavily edited. You can't believe the things that these people are saying to this little girl as she's going to school. Anyway, there are so many things about Topeka that are ruinous and evil. And so, let me just read these poems. So, the first one is titled Kamisato. I'm going to read six of these poems. Kamisato is a military term that means killing your enemies in their sleep. And I remember this from junior high school because my junior high history teacher was talking about the famous American Kamisato with General Washington crossing the Delaware with his soldiers to kill the British soldiers in their sleep. And he used the word brave. He said, it's a very brave decision. I thought, that's really odd. No. They're dreaming of, you know, the future. I mean, like, who knows? They might be having dreams about the future of England. Sex Pistols. Kamisato. After breaking in, the wolf calmed the hens so he could take his time with them, twist them open until the right amount of memory fits into the song. Another high price for belonging. Poetry is the opposite of escape that makes this world endurable. How the smallest puddle reflects the entire sky. Our return to every dream our minds talk us out of, trusting our map of the star. Your hand around my shoulder, poet astronaut, you know I love you. I have no sense of failure when I'm with you. Everything matters, because everything hurts someone somewhere as it is mattering. We became all we carried into the mast, migratory patterns given to the love again. A way to end the secrecy of suffering. Cut a door in the wolf so we can retrieve our dead for a world that matters. Death will set your day right. Pigeon cleaning her wings, perched on brass feather of General So-and-so's statue. We had each other's embrace a few years at most. Could be we engineered this wrong. Wobbled into universe, fixing long goals with a toothpick. I am greedy too with time, have given myself to the hem of it, walked on knees for gifts to continue, longing pushed to the back of the barrel. Listen to draining wound, paddling its waters. Hold us upward, shadow, it is by you we are cradled. I am not a masochist, I tire quickly from pain. Interrogate fly swatter, knife, and fork as accessories to a crime. How many times do I forget I must die? Simple. As many times a day, I am not your humble fellow human. On all fours, I am a seat for the wind. Most of my family's international travel is being sent to war. If we judge love, we can kill off anything, drag by our hair across the days until they make their way inside our dreams, where we get to evict them. I want to thank the one who invented knocking on the door, but no one remembers their name to tattoo across my knuckles. I asked an archaeologist about first time she stuck a shovel in the ground. Her answer had same restorative powers as the grave diggers. When we die, we can no longer wipe the muck off, just lie there becoming shit of the world. Eat a chip of your own dried blood. Join me in the cannibal sunshine, fully persuaded by the world through song. Each morning a blue jay screams at edge of the clear-cut forest. I scream with her at the bleeding stumps. Scream inside something borrowed like ocean, like skin. I want to see before I die a mink wearing a human scarf, skin from a handsome hairy leg. This one is titled, My Grandfather Died of Lung Cancer After Working at the DuPont Chemical Factory. And this is dedicated to my friend Sawako Nagayasu. Where I grew up, pain is a luxury. Alcohol, it's pure. Your Wall Street stockbroker brother high all day on coke is the new global nervous system. Carved dust from fallen tree of life. 50% of Earth's coral reefs have perished in our lifetime. Where does death appear in the stock market? Recreate this space with embedded signal to shake the day. When U.S. poets pay their taxes, homes of poets in Palestine burn to the ground. After silence, we heard our shared thought thicken the path. This poem on my tongue, my best ideas come with an ear pressed to your chest. The Eastern Puma loved her children when she was alive, officially extinct January 2018. When approaching danger, I make note of when my bravery runs out. And know the rest of my struggle is fueled by love, nothing else it could be. Auguries cast aside. This is the one I have a free broadside for if anybody wants it. To enter the sky with our bodies, the principal concern for inventing airplanes. No one taught me this, any more than they taught me to say good morning to my hippocampus. But I do because I love my hippocampus. I was in a band one summer. We never could harmonize. We smiled and kept playing. We loved our united disunity. A blind, stubborn focus, chewing its way out. How awkward, the archer after shooting his arrow, remembering first time getting into bed just for sex. They say I'm old now. Ask my advice, all I have to offer is make as many mistakes as you can handle, but make them as soon as possible. Oh, and don't waste time following each other from opposite sides of the river. When storm blows wave off my head, it simply means it is time to let the storm take its share. I have one more. This one actually comes from, I wrote this essay for Ms. Sweeney about voting in November, and they knew that David Eggers knew that I would write about these anti-queer laws, which I did. I had to write this thing 12 times because I was so angry reading these laws. But I was like, I gotta write it so that people want to read it. I mean, these laws are in Massachusetts. People think, you know, I don't know what people are thinking. The laws in Massachusetts are the worst. Everybody thinks that Massachusetts is so liberal. These laws in Massachusetts are breathtaking. They want to remove, it's a referendum to remove the 1979 protections law so that shop owners and restaurant owners, hotel owners can throw us out. Anyway, I was so angry that I had to like make myself do a good job. I mean, I'm from like the screaming on the streets. I'm not interested in being nice. I mean, I've got in ACT UP days, one of my straight friends would say, oh, I wish that, what can we do to help? And I would say, go home. Call your parents, your family, your friends, your employers, and come out of the closet as queer. I said, but we're straight. I was like, I don't have time for your problem. And they actually did this, and now they're dykes. First and most important, dream our missing friends forward. Burn their reflections into empty chairs. We are less bound by time than the clockmaker fears. This morning, all I want is to follow where the stone angels point. Birdsong lashing me to tears. Heterosexuals need to see our suffering, the violent deaths of our friends and lovers. To know glitter on a queer is not to dazzle, but to unsettle the foundation of this murderous culture. Defiant weed smashing up through cement. You think Oscar Wilde was funny? Well, darling, I think he was busy distracting straight people so they would not kill him. If you knew how many times I've been told, you're not like my gay best friend who tells me jokes and makes me laugh. No, I sure as fuck am not. I have no room in my life to audition for your pansy mascot. You people can't kill me and think you can kill me again? I met a tree in Amsterdam and stood barefoot beside it for 20 minutes. then left completely restored. Yet another poem not written by a poet. Sometimes we need one muscle to relax so the others follow. My friend Mandy calls after a long shift at the strip club to say, while standing in line for death, I am fanning my hot pussy with your new book. Are you signing up next week, my fearless faggot sister?
Or, to be more specific, I don't know if I would have kept on holding on to writing if it weren't for Eileen. I first came upon their work a very long time ago when I worked for a small press that operated out of a basement on the Lower East Side. It was not part of my usual task to read my manuscripts, but I happened upon one that exploded the possibility of what I thought being a poet writer could be, what it could mean as a life in writing. That manuscript was called Cool for You. After that experience, I went deep into a Miles hole and devoured whatever I could find from before, Chelsea Girls, Not For You, School of Fish, Maxfield Parrish. One of my most prized possessions is a tiny Hyman press book whose title I forget at the moment, but I found it in a used bookstore in Indiana many years ago. Since coming to know Eileen's writing, nothing has ever really been the same in how I write, yes, but also in how I read. The stakes are forever higher because I'm waiting for a feeling that only their work seems to give. And that's the thing about Eileen's writing. When you read them, you share the sense that they're waiting for that feeling too. In Eileen's work, the molten epiphany is the end goal to a journey they have committed to the page and other platforms as a life's work. And I know that sounds pretty heavy, but the thing that is most remarkable about Eileen is how graceful they make it seem. Make it look so easy. Us writers, we talk a lot about voice, how to find it, original voice, etc. And like many of you, I sometimes teach composition, and consistently the writer that always breaks the wall in regards to voice with the students is Eileen. They have written often about embracing one's oral inflections to the page, to give voice to the accents we supposedly should untrain ourselves from. I've seen this particular aspect of their work resonate with my own students, who are so intimidated to write down their own truth. And it always leads me to the main thing that I think is the culmination of Eileen's work, which is the commitment they show to learn how to trust one's own mind. Every up and down becomes a potential query, and then a starting point to that inevitable epiphany, the same one I mentioned before, that feeling we're waiting for. I'd like to close with an example of one of those molten rays from their piece, Universal Cycle, because it kills me every time I read it, and I think best exemplifies everything I'm trying to say. I hope you all find yourself sleeping with someone you love. Maybe not all of the time, but a lot of the time. The touch of a foot in the night is sincere. I hope you like your work. I hope there's mystery and poetry in your life. Not even poems, but patterns. I hope you can see them. Often these patterns will wake you up, and you will know that you're alive again and again. Please help me welcome Eileen Mastin.
I guess I have a new book of poetry called Evolution, and it's coming out on September 11th, weirdly. And I think there's a talk at the beginning of it that is that I was invited to give a talk at the Shakers. There's a Shaker Museum nearby here, not that far away. And it was like a conference called the Feminine Mystic. And I was like, cool, I'll do that after the keynote. And I didn't know what I was going to do, so I was sort of stuck in Provincetown the week before. And I said, so I'm just going to read the beginning of that, and then I'll read some new poems and some stuff, from really new poems that aren't even in this book, and then some stuff for the book. So I'm not even sure what's in these first few pages, but I was urged to read it, so I can take it. And I claim right away that I'm Ann Lee, and Ann Lee is the first Shaker. I am Ann Lee. I thought that would be a good place to start. I am Eileen Miles. I am 67 years old. My mother died on April 3rd. She was 96. I have not had sex since January. I am writing to you from Cape Cod. It was a horrible week. It was kind of a stray week. I really wanted to be home in New York, and I had just gotten back from 3 weeks in Palestine, Ukraine, and Russia. I resisted the impulse to say, the Ukraine. Is that his name? I just wanted to be home after that. I planned to be in Provincetown in August, but there was this available week in June. I thought that'd be nice. Yeah, but won't you be tired? You know the thing where you know something, but you speed up over that voice, convincing yourself that the logical thing is true? I came up here with a friend, and we did a little bit of work together. Next morning, she got on one of those tiny planes. I thought, this is such a Sagittarian trip, that she would drive up to the Cape with me and my dog, do a little work, and leave the next morning in order to hear a band named Red Ants, spelled Red Aunts, that she really loved, and they were, after all, really great. I began my week of relaxing and working and being in my home state. I began to miss my mom, around weather, because it was horrible this week. It, like, rained all day long and all night long. I didn't have to go to the beach, but, you know, it was cold, too, and I was staying in an unheated shack in a part of Provincetown called Tasha Hill, which is very rustic, which means wet wood and hobbit houses and goats and horses and roaming dogs and chipmunks, but, like, really chilly, and the internet wasn't working, and the gas wasn't on, and using the space heater, I blew a fuse. It's a circuit, corrected Thomas, who I rented the place from. Who cares? It blew. It rained and rained, and I wanted to call my mother in her nursing home in Greenfield and say, what do you think of this weather? And she would say, it stinks. But I can't. That's exactly the way I miss my mother. A deepening of the abyss with a hoot. I miss that. I mean, there were many nice moments, including one last night when it was nice already again, and I was stepping over a wall onto the wooden ladder onto the beach, and I thought, I'm like Tennessee Williams. I'm like an old queer in the winter in Provincetown, waiting for Marlon Brando to come down and fix the pipes, and I proved to be the right one to play Stanley in Streetcar Named Desire. I did a little bit of research. Ann Lee thought that she was the church. Get it? An edifice. And that is a radical thought. Not being cast as a thing. A live woman expanding out. Jesus was the church, and she was the church. She was the second coming, and now God was complete, being both woman and man. It's so important that she had those four miscarriages and never proved to lay an egg correctly and convinced her blacksmith husband to not lay eggs with her. People chuckle when you say Shakers when you remind them that they were celibate. How did they reproduce? Well, they adopted. They recruited. Foundlings. There were indentured Shakers, I read, which I am waiting for someone to explain the relationship between economic servitude and Shakerhood. The fact that you don't have to breed to survive is inspiring to me. Or maybe it's you won't have to die. Right away, Ann Lee could have kept trying, and one of those pregnancies might have made a baby, and one of them would kill her. Not now, she said, lifting a hand. I won't survive, but my church will, my work. That it was thought up or furthered by a woman who is not barren or infertile, but generative. I am Eileen, I am not celibate. I'm sort of between relationships, and I've had sex a few times in the gap, but I had a bit of that feeling of, who is this for? So I thought, that's no way to go ahead. I love that the place where the Shakers landed in this productive, generative scheme is the thought to make things and make things well. It's such a beautiful thought. I won't dwell on my own sexuality too much, but I do want to say I love the idea of making something with another human being, perhaps me, not a baby, but something nice. A special place, perhaps. But for now, I'm loving the solo place of the life well made. I thought, well, I was walking on the beach, and I thought, what about one blue stone? And I picked it up. I've had all this crap in my pockets, tokens of this and that, and I'm ready to whittle it down and examine my own message on my own time. I'm holding this rock with that thought. Did you watch Comey? People were like, is he hot? I don't know. He's beautiful, unbeautiful, like those boys I went to grade school with. The big bags under his eyes. To his credit, he did not make the joke about dinner with Trump being the all-time great excuse for breaking a date with your wife. That was the other guy. Yet he smirked because he was a man, and a man has to get the other man's joke, or else it's a cause for violence. But in that moment, typically, there was a woman pushed out thoughtlessly like a buffoon. Aren't we all looking for an excuse to get away from her? But where are you going? To sit in this room. Do you remember when he talked about justice with a blindfold over her eyes? I realized at that moment that I had never wondered who put the blindfold on. It's a construction. Whose? In his own defense, Comey said she did not lift her blindfold and peek to see if her patron was pleased. I thought of that as a trans vernacular moment. Code shifting. I mean, just before various speakers had been peppering their questions in this mostly male gathering, America's Congress, with their photographer and journalist friends, they peppered their talk with a number of heck of us and gosh, just to say that despite being suits, they were manly men, trusty doers, and representatives of a doing nation, which we are not, of course. So all these conceits to present ourselves as manly are drag, of course. But my point is that when this tall man depicts his own relationship to justice, a higher authority to whom he has dedicated his life, he depicts her as she is historically depicted as the woman who has mysteriously had her sight taken away. And if he were to degrade his lofty position, he would do it coquettish-like, taking a peek like a girl. And that is only possible, that rhetorical turn, because justice has been presented as female, male made wholly useful as a symbol, incomplete, because she is blinded by men. Male rhetoric would not work without the fall guy of women. In the constructed absence of women, we make lies. That's what America makes. Now the president, I think, the imputation was he was actually trying to feminize our guy and get him to lift that blinder and see if Donald was smiling at him or not. Comey was appealing to their masculine pride. Was he liking him now? Was Comey serving at his pleasure? There's so much weird gender stuff in this largely government as men, by men, for men. If women are only a symbol, then men may lie. When Trump asked Comey at the dinner table to do naughty things, like take a loyalty oath to him and not to the blinded girl, he gave vague answers back to him. The congressman who questioned Comey asked, well, why didn't you tell them this was inappropriate? I was stunned, was Comey's reply. Let's pause for a moment. Doesn't this sound like every rape case you've ever heard? And doesn't the questioner normally barge in hard at that moment? You are stunned? I have a dictionary definition of the term stunned. Were you drugged? Did he hit you with his ray gun? Everyone laughs. That did not happen, because this is not a real girl. This is a feint. All the guys are in on the play. The audacity of the situation, a man presented by himself to all who already know him as such a one of high purpose and then been treated so cavalierly by this thug of a president. That is tantamount to an insult to all of us, of course, honest men. We're going to see the stuff that America is made of. We're going to see how a democracy works. I was walking down Commercial Street with my dog, holding my phone, listening to this important testimony yesterday, as Comey talked about his loyalty to the Department of Justice and the FBI, to which he would be grateful all his life, and tears came to my eyes. Notice this, I thought, why am I getting tearful? Who put this in me? Ann Lee proposed herself to be a church. Was I roofied? Is that why I cry? James Comey said that America was a shining city on a hill. Now that's insane. What hill? He said that this was not a Republican issue or a Democratic issue. He was talking about hacking now, about the Russians trying to hack our election. And nobody yet has mentioned yet that there was a female candidate who was robbed right in front of us all of her rightful place of office as the President of the United States. I think because it wasn't done to a man, it was done to a woman. Not having managed to land herself in the seat, she remained symbolic.
He said, "I don't think Russians are Democrats or Republicans," and everyone laughed. The joke, of course, hid the lie in what he just said. The Russians were, of course, hacking on behalf of the Republican Party or Donald Trump. When Trump asked Comey to go easy on Flynn, when he asked him to dispel this cloud around me, this Russian stuff, he admitted it was possible that some of his satellites might have talked to the Russians. Satellite is the word we need. Either Russia is a satellite of the Republican Party, or the Republican Party is a satellite of Russia. That's the dance. Shakers did a funny dance, so I'm sort of doing it here. I love the Shaker thing about dancing. Will there be any of that this weekend? It seems circular. It seems like hands were raised at crucial times, and sometimes people would go wig out for an ecstatic solo. Think about dancing. We have lost our rituals, and we need them. I mean, dancing was never so intense in my life as it was in junior high and high school, really, before I was having sex. And you would feel this tremendous excitement and the watching and coordination and collective and bliss. The repression enabled, I'll speak for myself, me to really cut loose. In New York in the 70s and 80s, there was a free-floating loft party, a dance party called The Loft, and it would gather in lofts on special appointed nights, and there was probably a mailing list, and mythic DJing took off there. It changed the form, and numerous dance styles, the merging of avant-garde and disco and Buddhist chant, Arthur Russell, and people would just pulsate and sweat, and it was very much a religion. I went once in the heyday, like 30 years ago, and then I went again. It's still happening. The night before Thanksgiving, you know, we had just had this election, and dancing seemed like the only cure. And the party was in the small basement of a club in Brooklyn, very interracial, very all ages, and it was an intuitive sharing of space. It was such a political thing. Late in the night, a bunch of white, rich kids descended on us, the Trumps, I thought, as they were extremely high and looked kind of grotesque, and they were dancing at you, mocking the act of dancing, even, in pleasure, and it felt violent as they took this extra awkward, even square space, real estate-y, and you just felt pushed, and I left. I went home, I had to get up early and go see my mother. I'm gonna stop there. Every experience of being and day awakens me to the difficulty. I change my socks, I see my feet. You don't so much mind my flaws, I think, at the world when I go out. Women in chairs and couch, one of both, a tender dog and actual tears. Today it snows, we go live. In you, I keep hearing this weird part of my throat and I want to get out of it. In you, I guess that's okay. I feel very protective of wood. If it's living, you can rain on it, but in the sink it rots, so love it like a baby, worship the tree. Love the light bulb in many colors, the blonde for her brightness. Forgive me for the obvious, my love, deep and translucent, troubled. The candle, love the candle for its powerful tongue, the dog for his breath. Whatever sex, politeness brings me much. I plan for your death, mine is the end of the poem. It must be long to direct, to multiply, steam and explode. Love the fork, its tines, or how I want to be invaluable, silly name. Love Texas like a dog in a hat. This makes my poetry rise, replace it with heat, keel towards me, please be present. I wrote on you, I write with you, I sleep on you, hold my love, steam my flight, bury me deep, I am one of you, loving you well and the shame that brought us here. I write a big apology in one lifetime, I do little open-ended, at my best. Thank you for your time, for this long wedding. Mary Queen of Scots. I wrote this in Scotland. I had an idea. It was a dog in here named Butters who bit the head of my dog named Honey. Mary Queen of Scots, the whales breaking the surface of the ocean, no other name. Then I knew that I became ocean too. The black and white mother knows her baby becomes knives. She misses the restaurant, and Honey runs out and takes a bite of Butter's head. The owner is nice. That forest in Scotland whipping by is, I think, this country should become free. Solaris is the interior of my sexual fantasies. I'm a pot plant.
eaten by movies for years. The veil of snow curves as she drags her pile of trash on the train. This is any butter, the lightly screaming train, and I'm excited to see you. Black barns hold my contentment. Dana Wood and Mary Gonzalez in those small tubby rolls, and the grass are relevant, yellower grass. It's hay. Hedge ends the property. My this is not struck by the gun of a moment, but this tumbling green, long unseen, tiny recollections exchanging thwang, the release of a bow, honey safe and butter safe, the crown of a tree, see-through poking over a hill, and I want my hands on the font I want, I want. This is called Walter Miles. It was the name of the dog. Really good dog. You know, I'm just praying that the phone doesn't ring. I'll just unplug and leave the chocolate bar in my pocket, explaining the performance of God to Joan as if she needs it. The silver card case slipping out of my ass pocket, the same ass that was calling somebody as it was walking up the stairs. The city retained its luridity tonight and all day, like the floor of my apartment retains the shit stains of Walter Miles, a dog I loved for 3 weeks and 3 days, uttering his name, secretly greeting. Somebody took this dog and changed his name, uttering his name, secretly greeting Nike in the street. Hello, Nike, Walter Miles. Giving me his best dumb grin. If I don't pick up shit early on in a poem, they won't think I love them anymore when really I pee in the tub. I wanted to be carried, so I took a train thinking of Chloe wandering under the earth like Frank O'Hara on the beach, thinking of Aquila lying down. It seems shocking she died with Judith Butler on her mind, but we don't know, really. The house I lived in is gone. The house I'm living in is always changing. I carry a tiny dog coat in my pocket. In my dream, the opportunity to sing with the Beatles was coming up, inserting my band into theirs, and ours was chiefly composed of red or redness. I propose we all jump into the water, that beach right down there, and enthusiastically I woke up. How could being just a little bit more dogless be the source of all the rooms changing in my house, suggesting we just plunge in? I knew I was off the charts by announcing my dream. Two women do that and all the men walk away. Is that what Aristophanes meant? Worse than not having sex with them, I start talking about having sex with myself, loving my own mind. If heterosexuality means anything other than me denying the existence of my own dream, I'd like to hear about that something else and call that love. I call that war. Years of silent repression of female dreaming, women looking like men but dreaming they're women inside other women dreaming that. What are men dreaming, except that all women are stupid and loving them? If you're dreaming something different, tell me your dreams about that. I am doomed to love you, that's for sure, because you laugh when I say, to a man, a woman is just a throne turned upside down. Repository of his kingliness. My kingliness does not require a throne. It is a throne. I love you because of your similar self-love, and it makes me laugh. Perhaps I can have some chocolate while this is going on. It will not break the spell. I no longer live in the sight of tremendous dog fights. Certainly, I could be kinder. Black Swan was a moral film, wouldn't you say? I am a fan of Darren Aronofsky, who has the name of a dentist. His films are fountains of power, fountains of gender. I dreamed that Judith Butler once suggested my girlfriend like my phallus better than hers. This is true, apropos Aquila's death. It turned out my girlfriend was much more in love with her own phallus than anyone knew. In one film, he was madly counting. In another, he tore the refrigerator apart, jumped into blackness, jumped into white. What else do you want a movie to do? If I had the time, I'd make a film. It gets worse. That's what I'd call it. If he can lie, so can I. Because there's nothing better than knowing so much, seeing that look in her eyes. Bright days wandering around the block with a dog breaking out, tossing some water into a pot, and putting in so much cereal, not knowing what the formula is. We dare it. How long will I be boiling chicken? It's a little red inside. The dream is the perfect object because you can only imagine its contours, just scraping along its curves like a giant woman lying outside. She is enormous, naked, and you are blind. But if you just stay with her perimeter, no, her mounds, leading you higher and higher, her awesome neck, so sensitive, her ear, no ear has ever been less constructed to hear but to allow the midgets of myth to tickle, to bite, and gnaw. If you can extrapolate some meaning from this,
like those people who wound up going to parties either dressed like Richard Stone or Susan. She was just a big old man who went to Harvard. I mean, they probably burned the witches right there before the lynching began. Same tree. Stupidly, at Jill's memorial, I began discussing the publication of her letters with Ingrid. What was I thinning? That's right, the K is missing. Small, ghostly dog wrapped in a sheet, eyes glimmering. Everyone grinned when I went back to the restaurant and picked my silver card case off the floor. The name is Paladin. Never say anything bad about anyone from Harvard. That obsesses me. How could you say anything good? Or is that just implied? The one more thing was single moms, and there was another thing. You're losing the dream all the time. That's why we love it. I thought it was the dream that was both vulgar and important. It is the search. So we sent a letter to the addresses of each of the women who had died, the exact address, and that was enough. You were waiting for somebody timeless, but everything only happens inside time. One envelope in the pile has a stamp, and you can find it. That she got a grant for being a poet doesn't mean that she's one and you're not. You'll get a donut, too. So, but what was it? Jeanine spoke about writing so much and so fast that it wasn't writing at all. The most beautiful thing I ever heard. You can see the pages in the light every day. Notebooks full of that stuff. The blonde girl writing, her passion pouring on the page, and we can't read it. That was her dream, to be doing that. Smiling years later and telling us her crime. Utterly unreadable. No text at all, just script. Pure sex, sweat, effort, time. She said, just to live here, to have all of you around me now, just the fact that it gets cold again, it makes me hungry. There's nothing wrong with that. Climbing all over her naked bod. He was the man tied up, and they were small. And it's interesting that he also proposed eating babies. I mean, why not? Say she raised them to kill them. I say they live to die. We watch them dying here, whether we go to the ceremony or not. That a king learned to speak somehow is not such a wonderful thing. That a woman learned to die is... Dear Adam, I said cake, I said top hat, I said microphone, four little golden baby heads. Wait, I said pirate ghost. Wait, I said closed eye smiling cat. He scrawled back, oh my God. I thought, fuck yeah, I can read this at the marathon. He said, Eileen smiles. I can use it. The bell of my computer rang, same message. Wait, the cat is crying with relief. The cat is a devil now. The cat is not mad. The cat making racialized jazz, or not my white hands. I'm talking to everyone now, and I'm using a filter. No, I'm not. I acknowledge that there is an image of me twice. I only recently learned the term jazz hands. Mm. If we fuck Pennsylvania up, what is our hope to live in a stolen country that was always stolen and worked largely by stolen people? Out of a conservative diaspora came I, a mongrel poet from Massachusetts, to make my mark. Love and these things and opportunities to speak. We can't fall down. We team in the new opportunity. We discover what resistance means. Our time and blowing up the inside of my computer. Buck studies. The phone says, delivered. What is? Adam says, did you see my beard? We talk about money a while. I ride my bike. Get off the phone, goes, ding. It's his beard calling. I go, oh, you have what I want. He says, lol. Then skull. Then rocket. Then turkey. Green pistol and a flame. I don't know what to say back to that. I say, bike and go. This is for my mom. A little bit. It's a little bit true that the hole in my jacket pocket, the breast pocket, they all relax to the hole, and pens keep slipping through ones in the lining. But this one perched, now it's a writing bird, silly black out there, wants to tell its song. When Wells' book was in the air, I was on a train, my feet are cold, and you wouldn't be in the air so long. It doesn't happen like this. There's no climate in a plane, and I was in one, but not on Earth. My mother is gone. Each thing I do is a little bit wrong. I'm willing to apologize, but they never help. It's just pointing out the hole, and people forget, but I won't forget you. This is called, they keep getting these emails saying, do you have a political poem? And I'm like, I don't have a political poem. And then I turn around, walk two steps, and I have a political poem. So this is one of them.
It's called The Vow. Everything's like a shade of brightness and dark, like this new pad I got on my computer, or these doorways opening onto the next, which is where I began. Nothing is like my dog eating an apple core in bed. The sleeping bag is red, it's matched, and it's already warm. I don't want you stepping on my computer, which is where all my friends are, some of whom are Nazis. I never thought I'd call Nazis friends. I was watching Man on the High Castle. I never thought I'd call Nazis friends, but I spend at least an hour a night with these ones, and then I wake up and read about the real ones on Twitter. For days, Rebecca Solnit and I struggled to be Facebook friends. It was like we were going to the gym together. We worked it out. I was visiting her today, looking at her face. The heat just rumbled. It's not even evening, but I thought I'd get a little Nazi in early. I would die for my country if that included everything, my friends and my dogs and all the lakes and ponds. I'm ready for the struggle. Creep. Two more. Ugly nightmare, eating too much, dunking your head in water over and over again. Feel bad for your kid, all of them, but most of all us. Bad nights when I was young and drinking. Predatory men with swollen heads would buy me drinks and want to fuck me again and again because I was nothing to them, and he is our president now. And this is transmission. I'm overcome by the cruelty of nature. No, I mean, I'm with it. And each little capacity it has can't be transferred. I mean, a spruce can't give its oils to you, can it? But that's how it grows. In the absence of technology, my thoughts grow. My thoughts grow among trees, but I don't help them, though I'm for them. I'm for my dog, and incidentally, I feed her, but I don't see her much. Joe does. Joe is my friend and also a dog father. I don't help mountains. Mountains help me. And if the planet is old and splashy, sleep helps me. Time helps me. My mother helped me, and now she is gone. She also hurt me, so it's good that she's gone. I can grow different in the day or three decades in which I've got left. I can grow towards the mountains, sit in solidarity with prisoners, or go to jail. I'm not joking. I can push different. I want to say something about my cunt, because that's what you ask. But I am alone. No mother, no phone, just a notebook and a cunt in my thoughts. I don't even think my thoughts. You do.
Books outside for sale. If you're nice, maybe the offers will